A boat with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which has so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand on the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards, and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the direction it gives us. And I pray that this evening you'd help us to understand the importance of holiness and following you in all that we do. Lord, I pray that you just guide us and direct us in what we need to do in our lives as Christians. Lord, if there be any iniquity in our hearts and lives, I pray that you'd show it to us. And Lord, give us that heart's desire to be obedient children. Lord, I just pray that you do that work which only you can do in our midst this evening. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The title of my message this evening, Follow Holiness. Follow Holiness. We live in a day and age where people assume that they can do what they want, that there's no repercussions for what they do, even as Christians. They have the idea, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, that is it. But it's more than that. We've been saved for a purpose. We've been saved for the glory of God. We've been saved so that we could be different. And the way we are different is by living our lives like the Lord Jesus Christ. God intends you, dear Christian, to be holy, to change, not remain the same. We know that that work which he has done in you, being confident of this very thing, that work which he has done in us, will be performed until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm paraphrasing it, but the Bible says that God, the work that he has done in us, or he beginning to do in us, he will continue to do in us until we meet him in heaven. And that work is to be like his dear son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what it means to be holy. We need to remember the importance of holiness and the need to resist sin. The need to resist sin. Our lives have been saved and we are in Christ. But don't let it end there. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and following. For by grace are you saved through faith, not in yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We've been saved. We're saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. But we've also been saved unto good works. We've been saved to be different. We're to follow Jesus day by day in all that we do and say. It shouldn't just be on Sundays that we are Christians. It should be every part of our lives. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give your life to Him in all that you do. And that is what we're going to learn about this evening. Let us look at this evening the resisting of sin, the chastisement of sin, and the following of holiness. We need to, as Christians, resist sin and accept correction of our sins by the Lord and follow after holiness. And then, the Bible says, we'll see the Lord. Let us first look at the resisting of sin. The resisting of sin. Letter A, to resist sin, we need to consider Jesus. Hebrews 12:3 says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. We're not perfect, but we need to do our best to be perfect. And in order to do that, we have to consider someone. And it's not just anyone. We need to consider him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at how he resisted sin. Look at how he lived his life. Look at what he did in order to live the Christian life while he was here on this earth. How did he deal with temptation to sin? How did he deal with it? He was tempted of the devil. The Lord didn't sin. He gave us an example on how we are to live our lives. There are many things that Jesus did, but I want us to consider his dependency upon the Word of God. Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 4, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. When dealing with Satan, and dealing with the crowds of the people of this world who are against God, there is something we need to learn to rely upon. That is the Word of God. It is written. It is written. Jesus, when dealing with temptation, said, it is written. He gave us an example of how we are to resist sin. We're to consider what Jesus did. He said, it is written. It is written. Thy word have I hidden in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. The ability to live the Christian life is going to be found on whether or not you depend upon the word of God. Whether or not you rely upon the word of God to make your decisions. Whether or not you rely upon the word of God to affect your thinking or what you think about. Whether or not you allow the word of God to change you and make you a new person. We need to renew our minds. And the way we renew our minds is by thinking differently, and it's thinking based upon what does the word of God say. When dealing with Satan and the crowds, we need to use the word of God. What we can glean from the Lord's life is that if we're going to resist sin in our lives, we need to rely upon God's word. It also, when it comes to resisting sin, we have to remember to rely upon prayer. Rely upon prayer. We're not able to do all that we want to do or live the Christian life in our own strength. And we gain strength or we gather strength through prayer. Jesus told Simon Peter, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And what God was telling him was, you need to go to God in prayer. You need to deal with difficulties through prayer. And we need to learn that as Christians, if we're going to live a holy life, a life where we're following after holiness, it's going to be through prayer. Prayer and the Word of God. When it comes to the Word of God, it does many things for us. It places us in a place, knowing that where we don't end up sinning, but we don't put ourselves in a place that makes it easy to sin. Many times we fail because we make provision for the flesh. The Bible says, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. That means we should know that we are indeed are sinners, and there are some things it's easy to do when it comes to sin. There's pleasure in sin for a season. Don't think of sin as something that you will not do because you're God's child, but rather look at sin as something you need to flee from, something that you need to put yourself in the position so that you do not do. We're only human. You have to remember, we're but flesh. We don't have the power that we think that we have, even though we're Christians and God has given us strength and power through the Holy Spirit. We also have to remember to be wise. To be wise. The Bible speaks of this in Proverbs chapter 7. Just follow as I read, or listen as I read. In Proverbs chapter 7, verse 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Listen to what I have to say. Listen to these words. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. The Bible is saying there here that there's a person here. I looked out my window and I saw they didn't know what they were doing. They were void of understanding. They're about to put themselves in the position they should not be. And that's what God's word is telling us. We need to put ourselves in a position so that we don't fall into certain sins. We need to have understanding. I'll continue reading. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He is gone on the long journey. He had taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With a flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. The word of God speaks here of a young man who gets caught up in adultery, gone to the wrong place at the wrong time. There's wisdom in those words. It's knowing what we're capable of doing. In this case, as a man, you need to put yourself in certain places and be not other places. And the word of God warns us that if we put ourselves in certain positions, that we're prone to fall. The Bible says that many mighty men have been slain by her. David ended up in this position. Wrong place, wrong time. He had just hearkened unto the wisdom of the Word of God. It gives us an example, a picture here. The Word of God teaches us we need to practice what the Lord teaches us to practice in His Word. Rely upon the Word of God and prayer so that we don't end up in these positions. Not only do we need to consider the Lord Jesus Christ, but in order for us to stay away from sin, to resist sin will take effort. To resist sin will take effort. The Bible says the following in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. To resist unto blood means it took some effort. It took a will. The ability to resist the flesh is a battle. It's not going to be won overnight. This is not an easy thing. Sometimes when it comes to resisting or living for the Lord, doing what God wants you to do, there's going to be people that are not going to enjoy what you have to say. There are going to be people that are going to look down upon you. And just remember this. The Bible says, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Don't ever forget that. Our responsibility of Christians is as much as lieth in us to live peaceably with all men. We're not to take what we know and cause an argument with everyone we come across in order to prove a point. We're to take what we know and to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes people are not going to like it. It might end up that someone will attack you for your faith and what you believe in. But we're not the people to be out there doing any attacking. We're to be out there living by an example and being willing to resist even to the point of blood. We're more apt to sin or participate in certain sins because it's socially acceptable. However, before God, sin is never acceptable. And that is why we need to resist it. God never says, these sins are okay, but these sins are not okay based upon what everyone else is doing. God calls sin and sin, and He doesn't want us to sin. He wants us to live our life for Him. He wants us to put our life separated for Him. The Bible says the following, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'll read in verse 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. The Bible says the following, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. We had the ability to live a holy life. The Bible says, be holy for I am holy. We have the ability to resist sin. Does that mean we'll never ever sin again? No, we'll give in to sin. But we have to remember, when it comes to sin, is something we need to fight against and not just say, I like this, therefore I'm going to do this. We need to look at sin and remember, when we're confronted with it, when it comes to sin, we need to resist it like we would resist the plague. And look at it as it is. It is against God. It is displeasing to God. We have the ability to do this because the Bible says God is faithful. He'll never tempt us above, he'll never suffer us to be tempted, above that we're able. He'll never allow you to be put in a position where you can't run away from that sin. If you're in a position where you give in to sin, or if you're sinning, it's because you've placed yourself in that position by not listening to God. You're not listening to what God has to say. Let us fight the battle, and let us rely upon the Lord to resist sin. Not only do we see dealing with sin, but we have to look at this evening the chastisement of sin. The chastisement of sin. Letter A, it is not enjoyable. It is not enjoyable. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 7, the following: And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise thou not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God deal with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. When God confronts us with our sin, it's not going to be an enjoyable situation. Chastisement is not enjoyable. It's not going to be a happy time. Sometimes we think of the Christian life, when it comes to us living the Christian life, it's a bed of roses. It's just everything is happy and everything is just going to be what we want. But the Christian life is a battle. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. We also have to resist ourselves, our desire to sin. And God helps us in this matter by chastisement, the chastisement for our sin. If we resist or become angry because of God's correction, it will harm us and not help us. You have to remember, even though it's not enjoyable, it is what's best. God does this because he loves you. He corrects you and he convicts you through the Holy Spirit because he wants what's best for you. He wants you to be holy. He wants you to live like he would live. He wants you to be a light to this world. He wants you to live in such a way so that the world around us will look at us and say, there's someone who follows Jesus. He wants us to live in such a way so that people, when they look at us, they'll say, that person loves the Lord. He loves people. And when we live like that and we give our lives to the Lord, we listen to his chastisement, it puts us in a place where we can tell others of their sin and what Christ has done for their sin so that they can hear the good news that Jesus saves, that he died on their cross so that they could have eternal life. He was buried and he rose again the third day so that they could have everlasting life. God loves them. And that is the purpose of holiness. He wants us to be like he was in this world. If we resist or become angry, it will only hurt us. The Bible says the following in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 4 in regard to this. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? Thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Cain did not accept God's correction. He didn't allow what God wanted him to do to take place in his life. For Christians, we have to remember we need to accept God's correction so that we become better and not bitter. We need to allow God's work to be done in our lives. We need to humble and receive the correction so that we are wiser. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 9, verses 8 and following, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will yet be wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. We must remember we're but flesh, and when it comes to correction, we don't like it. It's not enjoyable. When we're told you're wrong, you know what I'm talking about, that flesh, that desire when you're confronted with sin is to stand up for yourself, to prove a point as to why what you're doing is right. And so many times as Christians, instead of allowing God's work to be done in our lives, when he convicts us, he says, you need to remove this in your life. What you're doing is wrong. We try to convince ourselves how it is not wrong and how it is right. We resist the correction of the Holy Spirit. We try to put that voice out in our lives, and we sear our conscience. But I'm here to let you know that it is not enjoyable and we need to listen to it. And the reason is, it is fruitful. It is fruitful. The chastisement of the Lord is fruitful. The Bible says the following, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 10 through 11. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. The Bible says that the reason why we are chastened is for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. It yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. The fruit of righteousness, the fruit of holiness, is a result of listening to God's conviction in our lives. Don't ever take for granted that voice, that the burning within your heart when you hear the Word of God being preached. Don't ever put it to silence. Listen. Let it change you. It is for your better. It is so that you're like Him, so that your life is like His life, so that you can live here on this world and be like the Lord Jesus Christ. This has nothing to do with our standing when it comes to eternity, as we are already robed in the righteousness of Christ. But it does have everything to do with us becoming like Christ. Just because we're saved and we're on our way to heaven, we're robed in the righteousness of Christ, which simply means God took our place. The punishment for our sin when he died on the cross, he did that so that we could have everlasting life. We don't live this way so that we can have eternal life. We live this way because we have eternal life. We don't live this way so we can have eternal life. We live this way because we have eternal life. We do it out of thanks for what he has done. God's desire for us to be righteous in our living, we're not to be pious in our attitude, but we are a desire to follow God and follow after his righteousness, to be holy, to be different. The Bible says the following, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Turn there if you would. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and begin reading in verse 11. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we'll begin reading in verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, whom before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to follow after righteousness. It is fruitful. And that fruit is being partaker of God's holiness, being like the Lord Jesus Christ. The fruit of God's correction is so that we'll be more like him. We should not walk around in despair. The Bible says, don't let your hands hang low. Don't be all downcast because you're being corrected of the Lord, but allow him to do that work in your life so that you're different. Put your feet in the proper place. Walk straight forward. Lift your head that hangs low. And remember who it is that's working in your heart and life. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has a purpose for you. And that purpose is to be like him. That is why we want to follow holiness. That is why we want holiness in our life. So that we can be like Jesus. Which brings me to my last point, the following of peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Holiness is very important and should not be taken for granted. As we consider even the purpose of the law, it was so that we would have a relationship with our fellow man and God. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 and following, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. When we are living in sin, we're not living in love. When we're living in disobedience, we're not walking in love. Love is based upon truth. It's based upon righteousness. It's based upon holiness. When we give in to what we want and do what we want in the flesh, we're not going to see God working in our lives. The Bible says we're to follow holiness and peace with all men. It says, without which no man shall see the Lord. Many Christians today think that they can do what they want and live what they want, and they see God working in their life. God says you'll see him in your life when you live for him in your life. God says when you give up your sin, then you'll see me. God says, put me first, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God says we're to follow holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. God desires for us to be holy. We obey the word of God and give our life to him in holiness because this is love. The Bible says in John chapter 14, verse 15 and following, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will comfort you. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, I'm going to send you a comforter. He's going to send us the Holy Spirit so that we can keep his commandments, so that we can follow the Lord in holiness, so that we can be like the Lord Jesus Christ. God's desire for us is to be holy. God's desire for us to be like his Son. And therefore, he works in our lives to be like him, to be holy, for he is holy. When we allow God's work in our lives will be forever changed. Some people will assume that the Christian life is simply a life, I am saved and I can now do what I want. But they're missing out on what God has for them. However, God's word tells us that if we sin, when it comes to sin, and just a reminder, if you sin and you're not bothered by your sin, the Bible says if you're not being chastised, there's an issue there. God chastises those he loves. God deals with his children. It says if you can live in sin in this world and you can do whatever you want, it says then ye are bastards and not sons. For he whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. You live in sin and nothing bothers you, you need to seek whether or not you truly know the Lord. I say that and I tell you that, not telling you that you need to do these things in order to be saved, but God's word says if you're saved, certain things will bother you. God's desire is not only for us to save, but for us to be like him, to be different. 1 Peter 1:15, by as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. We are as Christians by the power of Christ to resist sin and live for Jesus. This is not easy, and when we are chastised, we may want to live a downcast life where we become discouraged and say, woe is me. The Lord's always dealing with me. I'm upset because God is always telling me what I'm doing or this is wrong or that is wrong. No, what you need to take from it is this: God loves you. He wants you to change because he wants to help you. Don't look at conviction from the Holy Spirit as a sad thing. It helps us to separate from sin. As much as lieth in us, we are to live peaceably with all men and follow the Lord in holiness. The fruit of listening to God's correction is the fruit of righteousness. It is holiness. The blessings of giving our lives to him is a life of seeing God and seeing our prayers answered. Sometimes our prayers aren't answered. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. God's desire for us to be holy is to be like Jesus, but also see God working in our lives, to see a difference. Let us follow holiness. Let us follow Christ. Let us be like the Lord Jesus Christ and take not for granted his work in our lives. Let us be more like Jesus in all that we do and listen to him. Follow the word of God. Pray. Look to Jesus for an example. He's given us an example on how we are to live our lives. Remember that it's not going to be an easy task. Some have resisted unto blood. They're willing so much to live for the Lord Jesus Christ that they're willing to suffer persecution from abroad. It's going to be a hard thing to do, but if we do it, it'll be worth it all. We'll see the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just in the heaven to come, but we'll see him in our lives now, working in our midst. Let us follow after holiness. Let us follow Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for all that you do. We thank you for the teaching of the Word of God. I